Well, hello. This is Jeff Gattiosi, and you're on MisplacedStraws.com, where music comes to life. And I've been lucky enough in the time that I've run this site to talk with a lot of my musical heroes. However, I can say this is the first time I've gotten to talk to the man who inspired my favorite childhood toy. And it was an action figure, not a doll. But whether you know him as Captain James T. Kirk, T.J. Hooker, or Denny Crane, William Shatner has been an American icon for more than half a century, and he's now getting ready to release his sixth studio record, a great piece of music simply called The Blues. And it's my total honor to welcome the legend himself, William Shatner. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you so much for that lovely introduction. And I want to tell your audience that that this blues album is a love of my life, and I'm very proud of it. And I hope they play it and listen to it. I think there's so many great musicians on it. That alone would interest them.
Well, and that's where I'd like to start. I mean, you have some amazing special guests. But one I think that really stands out is someone you worked with on your Seeking Major Tom record back in 2011, and that's Hall of Fame guitarist Ritchie Blackmore. Ritchie doesn't do a lot of rock-based music these days. What does it mean to you to have somebody of that caliber want to play on your record?
Ritchie Blackmore is Deep Purple, you know. He was heavy metal. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And Candice Knight, who does some of the vocals as well on that number on The Thrill Is Gone, he too is... She too is a great artist. It means so much to have somebody like Ritchie Blackmore play this B.B. King classic, The Thrill Is Gone. I don't have the words to convey how honored I am that a guy like Ritchie Blackmore is on. A guy like Brad Paisley is on Home Sweet Chicago. The artists bring their great talents and make each number superb, and it's something to be heard, to be believed.
Well, and like we were talking just before we started the interview, the arrangements of these songs are just fantastic. And you mentioned some of the guests, but you even have people like Steve Cropper and James Burt and, you know, royalty in that genre playing. And, you know, have you met with any of them beforehand, or you just kind of leave?
Sonny Landreth.
Exactly.
Sonny Landreth.
Great slide player.
Yeah. I mean, the list goes on and on. There's Tyler Bryant is on there.
Great young guitar player.
And Pat Travers is on a Put a Spell on You. Pat Travers was a Canadian guitarist, and he's recorded a lot of albums, almost 25 albums since then. We chose that song, I Put a Spell on You, to be a music video, which will come out at the same time that the album is coming out. And I Put a Spell on You, it's like, kind of like a crazy song of this guy cackling with laughter that I put a spell on you and now you're mine. So I suggested, it's an animated video, I suggested to the animator that it be a bar and me buried in a booth somewhere, looking with lust and longing at the barmaid who's serving drinks, and it's inside my head that I'm saying I put a spell on you. She doesn't, totally unaware that this crazy guy is lusting after her, and it'll be really funny, I think, and at the same time, it's a different interpretation of that song.
Oh, that's awesome. Can't wait to see that. I mean, how involved were you in picking out the songs? Did you have favorites you wanted to do, or how did that come about?
What I did was I canvassed people who were in the blues. I was given books by people in the books in the blues, so that I read them and understood. I'm a Canadian from Montreal trying to record the blues. What do I know? But what I do know is that the blues stems from pain and anger and humor, mm-hmm. and all of which are buried inside me. So I understood the impulse, not mm-hmm. the manner of delivery. I had to get to understand, play the blues, understand the blues, talk to the blues mm-hmm. People, and realize that the people who are in the blues have a reverence for the music that is probably unique to any other form of music. They don't want you messing with the blues.
Right.
So I'm not messing with the blues, except I'm interpreting it in my way and have the greatest blues musicians accompanying me.
And your interpretation of it, kind of like your other records, is, you know, your kind of dramatic spoken word vocal style over these amazing arrangements. And for the blues, and even when you did your country record, I think that fits well because, you know, the talking blues of the 50s and 60s were always a big thing with Arlo Guthrie and then even Johnny Cash and Bob Dylan. You know, how did you kind of develop your vocal style?
So that's very, very observant of mm-hmm. you, mm-hmm. perceptive of you to see that. Yes, you need the great lyric. That's why the country music album lent itself mm-hmm. In that manner, or indeed the Christmas album that I did this past Christmas
right.
that did very well.
Mm-hmm.
All the songs with words that you can understand, that you can identify. I came to it slowly. Years ago, as a classical actor, being aware and having to stay within the beat of poetry, I had a leg up. But I took that feeling for poetry into songs, and gradually each album, I think I got better and better at it, trying to meld the lyric and the music that is not singing but is singing. Mm-hmm. It is spoken word, but it's not spoken word. So I give you a feeling of the song, and you don't lose the melody. And I've
right.
been trying to find the ways where a singer might extend the note for dramatic emphasis. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. What do I do instead? And that's the experimentation I've been doing. And I think this blues album is the culmination of all the experimentation and attempts that I've been doing before.
And was music always part of your life? I mean, your first record was back in 68, but then, you know, didn't have another one till 2004, and you were a little busy in those years. But was music always something, you know, that you looked to throughout your life?
Well, yes, I love music, and I think that a singer, particularly a singer, is a miracle of nature.
Mm-hmm.
And the greater the singer, and I don't mean crooner, although that too is a miracle, but the trained voice to me is a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how a coloratura soprano can do those notes, how the tenor in the man's voice can sing and extend, it is a miracle of a vocal box, and I'm just in awe of it. So I stand ready to try and do my own little bit in music. And you're right, I did an album early on in my career, and it wasn't that successful, and I dropped it. Then a great musician by the name of Ben Folds heard it, asked me to do an album with him, a song first of all, and then an album, and I was off to the races. I've done several since then, and each one of them growing in my ability to do them.
And, you know, as we mentioned, each one working with a lot of people. I mean, you did the record with Billy Sherwood and Tony Kaye from Yes, which was more original
Billy
stuff.
Billy Sherwood and I did an album that is, we wrote the album, and it
right.
got great reviews. It's a wonderful album.
And as a singer at this point in your life, did you like that process of writing something new, or do you like the process of reinterpreting other people's songs better?
Well, I'm safer reinterpreting.
Mm-hmm.
When you write, you're out on a ledge. You mm-hmm. you presumably, and I guess is what I've been doing, you need a hook. So if I write a song about what is time, I need to be intelligent about where does time go, I believe is the title of the song. You're having fun, you're running, time goes by quickly. But of course, that's just your individual interpretation. Time does not go by faster or slower. Time is the steady beat of whatever it is, your heart, the rhythm of nature, whatever that is. So you have to be intelligent about the hook, but you also have to be good. The images you use have to be poetical, and then they have to fit a melody line. So it's really, writing a song, writing a good song is really challenging. Interpreting somebody else's is challenging as well, but in a different way.
Well, it's funny. I actually just spoke with another guitar player who played on your record, the great Kirk Fletcher. And he was saying for him, you know, picking the right cover song is almost as hard as writing an original song. So it's not like there's an easy path through any of it. You know, have you ever done a live show? Do you have any interest in, you know, kind of bringing this to the stage at some point?
Well, I thought that this album makes a really good tour, makes a really good stage entertainment. But, boy, the amount of work that this would require. You know, I've been touring a lot. I've got a tour planned next December, a 16-city European tour next December, doing a special thing. And then I've been touring the States. I've been touring in America all the time. And when I'm not at home, I'm busy out on the road playing at a city near you. I decided several years ago that I wanted to have the feeling, I guess maybe it was my entrancement with musicians who tour. I sat beside it's a story I want to tell you. I sat to golly, Joe, and he was of the Eagles. Give me
Walsh.
The Eagles players.
Joe Walsh.
Joe what? Joe Walsh.
Joe. Yes.
So I sat beside Joe Walsh at the dinner once, and we were talking about touring. And I said, yeah, you know, God, it's just debilitating. I go in, I fly in the morning, and then I find a hotel room, and then I go to the venue, and then I got to leave the next morning. I said, how do you handle it? He says, oh, well, we go in. 17 vans, and we have a charter plane, we fly in, we stay a month, and then we fly home. And I said, yeah, oh yeah, that's right. I had the biggest laugh and refer to it all the time because, you know, that's not touring. That's going someplace and performing for a length of time. You know, you bring your wife, you bring your kids, you bring the dog, and you have a good time in the city that you're supposed to be touring. I'm talking about bus and truck and getting there just in the nick of time as the audience is about to leave.
It's a different animal.
A different animal completely.
Well, again, the record is called The Blues. It comes out everywhere October 2nd. There really is some amazing music on it. I can't say enough about the arrangements of these songs and the people you have working with you. You have one video out now, the cover of
video will come
Work
out
Together.
Yep,
and the animated video with Pat Travers comes out the same day the record's released. And, Bill, I can't thank you enough for doing this. And if I could just ask one favor before I go, can I get the first line of the Star Trek intro?
I don't want to do that. I appreciate you asking. It's, you know, it's silly.
Understood.
I appreciate you asking. I appreciate you asking me to be on your show.
It's been my pleasure. Again, The Blues, October 2nd. My guest has been the legendary William Shatner. And thank you so much. Best of luck with the record. And
I look forward to talking to you again.
I hope so. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.